This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for Worship with Us.
What would life be like without Easter? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you who are the risen one, we thank you for coming to this earth and for dying for our sins. And we thank you that God raised you up and that you now live as our living Lord. Father, help us to understand that because you live, you're a person. You're a person in Jesus Christ, our Savior. You're a person with whom we can live intimately and in that dynamic relationship. Help us to understand, O risen Lord, that you are always ready to receive us, to grant us the forgiveness of our sins, to direct us on our way. And because you live, we too shall live. Live right here on this earth, but more than that, in the heavenly mansions when this life is over. Thanks for coming, and thanks for being raised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia.
Hear the Easter Gospel as it is recorded in St. Mark's Gospel. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, and just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified? He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Here ends the reading of the Easter Gospel.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my everlasting head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives all glory to his name. He lives my Savior still the same. What joy the blessed assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Friends in Christ, it was early on the first day of the week, and the ladies who had been standing beneath the cross on Friday were now on their way out to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. As they went along the way, they were asking the question, "How are we going to get that stone rolled away?" But their problem was solved when they got there because someone else had rolled it away. The entrance was open, and they went in. And there was sitting a young man, and he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He lives." You know, friend, that's the most glorious news that has ever been spoken to anyone, because it turned the whole world upside down from that time until it will come to an end. One never grows tired of telling the story that Jesus Christ lives. I don't believe you can really preach a sermon without telling that 52 Sundays out of the year. But the question that we sometimes have is, how can we tell it in just a little fresh, new way that will make the people really want to listen and listen carefully? And I'm sure that during these past weeks in preparing for their Easter message, there have been thousands of pastors who have toyed around with that question. How can I bring this old story in a new way? Well, I believe Paul wrestled with that too. And so he decides, I'm going to talk to them about the question, What if Christ had not been raised? What would life be like? How would you anticipate the future? You know, we really never sometimes appreciate a person to his fullest until he's gone. I've heard any number of women say, or men say, when their spouses have died, you know, we lived together and we loved one another and we enjoyed one another. We did that for 45, 50 years. And then suddenly she was taken in death, or he had to go. And this is their statement. I never realized what a friend I had. I never really understood what a blessing she was until she was taken. Or another illustration, I will never forget how I felt when I came home from my first trip abroad. I had enjoyed the sights of Europe, but when our plane landed in Chicago, I really wanted to get down on my knees and kiss the ground. I never realized how fortunate I was to be a citizen of the United States of America until I lived away from it for a few weeks. Well, it's in that sense of the word, in a far greater way, of course, that Paul says, look, let me give you four examples of what life would be like if Christ had not been raised. And the first thing he says is that our preaching would be useless, and so would our faith. Can you imagine going to church on Sunday morning and you have a dead Savior, that his life story ended at the cross when he said, it is finished? Wouldn't it be awful? What would the preacher bring to you? And what would you do in your preaching during the week as you bore witness to your faith? Well, I imagine there would be sermons on self-improvement. And that's what a person by the name of Tom Eric is crying out for in his article in USA Today. Recently he wrote, our nation needs ethical and religious instructions in the basics. Honesty, fidelity, sharing wealth, sharing power, and sacrifice. Yet these are the last topics one is likely to hear in churches. Now, I do not know the gentleman who wrote this, and I don't know where he goes to church. But I find that in mainline Protestantism, one of the weaknesses of our preaching today is that we're forever talking about self-improvement, and we don't talk about the basics of the gospel. I thoroughly believe, because we are continually being challenged, that the average individual knows a great deal about basic honesty. He knows about fidelity. She knows about sharing wealth. She knows about sharing power and sacrifice. It isn't that we live in ignorance of these things, but rather it is that we do not have the power and the strength and the conviction to live with what we know. I am sure that some of those people who stole large sums of money from Enron knew down deep in their heart what they were doing was wrong. But they didn't have the power to resist. Because see what that wealth could do. And we don't have to take it only to Enron. We can take it on in our everyday life. The fidelity of a husband to a wife. Don't tell me that people don't know that it's wrong to cheat on your husband or your wife. But the temptation, the emotion is so great that we just succumb, or some people succumb. We don't need more talk about self-improvement. Oh, maybe we do. Sure, we have the law of God that has to be dealt with. But what we need to hear mostly is that we have a Lord and a Savior who wants to live in our hearts. Because Jesus Christ lives, he wants to live in me. And when he lives in me, he will give me the power and the strength to live as he wants us to live. That's the great message of Easter. But if he has not been alive, if he has not been raised, then we live with this horrible thought of a dead martyr. If Jesus Christ has not been raised, then we are false witnesses. We have presented Christ as a living Lord with whom we can have a personal relationship when really we can't. That's all imaginary. If Christ has not been raised, then we are false witnesses. And somebody could say to us, as I have had it said to me from time to time, well, tomorrow's Sunday, you're going in and tell them the big lie? There are many people who think that we are false witnesses. Christ is not one to be worshipped as the living Lord. He is just one to be admired. Take him for what he is, they would say. He's like the other great leaders of the world, Gandhi, Muhammad, and some of the others. No, then we are false witnesses. Then all of these churches that scatter the landscape and the big cathedrals that are found in our cities have been built in vain. For what they proclaim is not true if Christ has not been raised. Thirdly, we are still in our sins. Can you imagine it, friend? No Savior to whom you can turn with your sin, with your wrongs, with all of your weaknesses and the things that you have done that are so utterly wrong, and you and I know it. No Savior to stand there with outstretched arms and say to us, come home, my daughter. Come home, my son. Come home and start life over anew. Your sins are forgiven. There's no story of the prodigal son. The boy who walked away had no chance to come back because he did not have a heavenly father who would care for him, who would love him, who would forgive him, who would start him over again. All of that's gone. Can you imagine living in your guilt? For there is no forgiveness of sins without a living Savior. Then Christ went down in defeat. If Jesus Christ has not been raised, then those who have died are lost. Can you imagine it? You walk away from the grave, and you have to say that's the end. There is no assurance of eternal life. All that we possess is right here on this earth. There is no story in your Bible that ends as it does the story with Mary and Martha. When their brother died, Lazarus, and Jesus could say to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Can you imagine that message would never be heard, but Jesus would be saying to Mary and Martha, look, Lazarus lived a good long life. You loved him, he loved you, that's fine. Now just cherish the memories. That's all you have. That's life. If Christ has not been raised, I shall never forget one of the saddest days of my life. I stood at the bedside of my uncle. He was dying. He was an atheist, he claimed, a follower of Ingersoll. And as I pulled out my testament, anxious to read to him a portion from the Word of God that maybe something could happen in those last days, he said to me, don't you dare to read that. That is only a fictitious story. When I die, that's the end. And it'll not be long now, and they can take me out of this house, and they can roll me down the banks of the hill that goes down into the Androscoggin River. And his sister, who was standing beside me, said, "You can't believe that." "That's truth," he said. And the sober look on his face. "That's life without a resurrection. We have to stop comforting one another then. We can't walk away from the grave with a smile on our face and a song in our heart, even though it's broken because a loved one has been taken. We have to go alone, for there is no resurrection." Well, Paul presents this to the Corinthians, and he gives them quite a picture of the Easter story. If you didn't have it, man, what would it be? And isn't that what you and I have to say today? He can't wait. The thought of not having a risen Savior was so depressing that Paul cries out, "But Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have died. Our preaching is not in vain. We've got a story to tell, and we ought to tell it more dynamically every day. Jesus Christ has been raised. We've got a witness to bring to the people. There is such a thing as the forgiveness of our sins. We don't have to live with our guilt. We are not false witnesses. We are telling the truth as it has been revealed in God's inspired word, the Holy Scriptures. We do not live in poverty. We live with riches. We not only pride ourselves in nice homes, but we think of that heavenly mansion that we're going to get when we get to heaven. We think of that great opportunity that we have to rush into the home of somebody who has lost a loved one and weep with them and cry with them and not belittle their loss, but say to them at the end, listen to what Jesus said. He who believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's what Christ has done for us. On what basis? On the basis of the resurrection. I know that there are those who say, and they don't believe in the resurrection, and they don't believe in Jesus Christ and all the rest, but they will sit in their coffee shops and they'll say, "Oh, I believe. When we die, we're all going to be together. Aren't those lush stories?" And you ask them, "Well, on what basis do you believe that?" And they will tell you, "Well, we rejoice because we believe that he is a loving Lord and he would not damn anyone. We believe this because we just know that it's right and we've lived a pretty good life and that ought to see us through." That's not adequate. It took a cross and an empty tomb to give us a basis for our salvation. And Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and Jesus Christ rose again. And because he was raised, we too shall be raised. So if you are a believer in the resurrected Christ, and he's your Savior and your Lord, rejoice and sing your hallelujahs today. And if you aren't, just stop and think of the difference that can be in your life if you could this day only say, "I believe that Christ lives, and I will live to receive him as that risen Christ." Amen.
I say,
he lives, salvation through.
Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son and for raising him from the dead. God, we pray that as that message is proclaimed around the world today, it may grab our hearts and we may have some better understanding of what life is like because Jesus Christ has been raised. Bless us in the Easter message, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have the need to listen. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time on 17 stations across the country, shortwave across North America and Europe, and internet access around the world. We thank all who support us with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. If you wish, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.